That should do it. And then I think it was Philomena. Are you good to go?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Well, hi, everyone. I'm Ari, sex, love, fantasy, addict, codependent, adult child, anorexic. And thank you for asking me to be of service this evening. A big part of my recovery that my sponsor passed on is being of service whenever I'm available to be of service. And so being asked to be on a meeting at 7 o'clock on Sunday night, my time was not a hard ask at all. But it's also, you know, one of the sort of five core pieces talked about in the preamble, and it's pretty simple. I'll get into that in a sec, but I just want to say welcome to the newcomers who identified, and anybody who didn't identify as a newcomer but is a newcomer. I am so glad that you are in these rooms, that you found these rooms. I'm sorry for whatever it was that brought you here, but I'm so glad that you are here. When I found these rooms just over 2 years ago, so today is 500 days sober, and when I found these rooms 2 years ago or so, I truly was on the verge of, as the big book talks about, you know, jails, institutions, or death. I was at that brink. I had just returned back to Los Angeles, and the reason I was returning to Los Angeles is because I had moved across the country to live with my qualifier, who was my affair partner, and that person cheated on me, and I was utterly devastated because this was the person that I left my marriage for, my marriage of almost 15 years for. And this was the biggest way that I had ever acted out before. And I had never, it's funny, I'm at the very least a second generation sex and love addict. And I come from a long line of untreated addicts of all varieties. I grew up sort of in the rooms of Al-Anon, but I had never heard of this particular program. I had heard of a couple of the other S programs, but not this one. And so it wasn't until joining this program that I realized, although I was acting out in such a big way and in such a harmful way to myself and others, that I had been a sex and love addict for most, if not all, of my life. It's interesting because when I think about the repercussions of this disease, I've heard lots of different stories, and yes, I lost a lot of relationships, many of which I was able to regain through recovery, including my marriage. But when I thought about or think about my bottom, and I think about how poor my mental health was doing at the time, how poor my physical health was, little did I know at the time, this past week, I was reminded of the consequences of this disease. Mind you, I have been, as I said, sober for 500 days and have been in no contact with my qualifier longer than that. And yet this week, because I've been having some different health things going on in my life and I had no idea what was happening and my doctors wanted to rule some things out, one of the things they asked was if they could do an STI panel. And I said, yeah, of course, like, let's get everything off the table. And I thought I had nothing to be concerned about. I had had STI panels in the past. I had had STI panels since being able to recover my relationship with my spouse. And then I got a positive or reactive test for hepatitis C. And there is no way to know. The good news is it also showed that it was not active. So what that meant, according to my healthcare professionals, was either this was a false positive or you had it and you're okay, you've cleared it, you're not able to transmit this disease. I don't know where I got this. But by process of elimination, there is a strong possibility that I contracted this disease from my qualifier, because this was the only other person that I had been sexually active with. And to have that information about my health and my body, thank you, was such a gut punch, because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm working my program, sponsoring people, I'm doing service, I'm doing the readings, I'm going to the meetings, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to be doing. But the consequences of my disease, even though I'm not actively acting out, are still coming up for me this far out. And although, again, I am okay and I'm otherwise seemingly healthy at this point, it wasn't even so much that I had done this thing, I put myself at risk. There were so many dangerous levels to this relationship. But it was the fact that now that I have reconciled with my spouse, there's a possibility that I put my spouse's health on the line without their consent because of this disease that I have, because of this addiction. And so that was just a very interesting thing to just sort of reconcile with. When I came to these rooms at the suggestion of my therapist, as the good sort of perfectionist I am, I immediately read all the 4 free documents I could find online, found a meeting, created a schedule for the next week between that session and my next session, and also realized, oh, I relate to these people. I relate to these characteristics. I relate to them greatly and the 40 questions, and I don't relate to the signs of recovery or the promises. And for a couple more months, I kind of stayed back in these rooms because I ended up going back to my qualifier, and things just got worse and worse. And I truly don't know how things would have panned out, but I know that it would not have been good. So at some point I got to that point with my qualifier where I was able not only to ask this person if they had the capacity to be in a relationship with me, but also was able and willing to hear the answer, and also was able and willing to consider a possibility where I was no longer with this person and my marriage may not be salvageable. And I might be alone for the first time in my adult life. I might be single and alone and have to figure that out. And I heard that response from my qualifier, and it was very unclear, but the lack of clarity gave me clarity, because I was able to see, if this person isn't confidently able to say that they have the ability to be in a relationship with me at this time, then that's a sign, that's enough information for me to know that this isn't the place that I belong. And I finally kind of had one of those God shot moments where things clicked and I was able to receive things. I didn't have an identifiable higher power at the time, but in retrospect, I'm able to look back at that moment and realize what a gift that was. That gift of rejection was everything that I needed. And then finally got my, you know, butt in the seat and started actually working this program. Started actually reading the stuff. Started actually, you know, being of service. The thing about this program, going back to the beginning, is it is not necessarily easy. At least I have not found it to always be easy. There are moments where it has been incredibly hard. Even having worked the 12 steps, again, getting that information this week was very hard. And it definitely triggered some of my character defects, and it definitely triggered some resentments, and it got me thinking about the consequences that I've experienced of this addiction and the consequences or lack thereof that I assume my qualifier didn't have. And I had to bring it back to me and really focus on what was happening for me in this moment. The other thing, though, is that it is simple. It is actually a simple program. Thank you, Sherry. The preamble lays it out, and the 12 steps lay it out further, right? Sobriety, service, steps are just three of those things. So that's something that I could have done from day one. I wasn't ready to do that on day one when I came into the rooms in June of 2021. It took me a few months of hearing the message, of hanging around in fellowship to finally accept fully that I was a sex and love addict and accept that I no longer wanted to be a sex and love addict. One of the sort of quotes in recovery that I love, and that really helped gel things for me, was understanding that addiction is giving up everything for one thing, and recovery is giving up one thing for everything. And I truly regained so much of my life, as well as gained so many new things in my life when I started to access recovery. The relationships that I had burned, including being a godparent to a child in my life, I was able to recover. I was able to deepen relationships and really start to address all the things that led to me trying to find a really impulsive and harmful way to leave my marriage and instead address those things. And also in that process, accept that my spouse and I may try to reconcile and that may also not work out. And that was a possibility. I mean, it's still a possibility. Who knows, right? But that's something that I am able to be in acceptance of today. You know, I talked about my mental health, obviously, but my physical health as well. You know, I remember one day being in the car and my smartwatch gave me an indicator that my heart rate was low. And I was thinking, that's odd. I've never gotten that before. I wonder why it's telling me that my heart rate is low. And then it occurred to me that my heart rate, it wasn't so much that it was low, it was that it was at a much calmer pace, or rate than it had been for so, so long. That I was sleeping well, that I was meditating, that I was listening to my higher power, that I was just in a much more serene place. And that was another one of those aha moments of, wow, what a gift recovery can bring to me. The serenity, the calm, the quietness, the space, and all those pauses in between things. The little moments every single day where I make decisions or I turn my will over to my higher power to be somewhere on that spectrum that is closer to the recovery and sobriety side of things and further away from the addiction side of things. And again, that's not always easy. I am not some perfect Zen being by any means. I have my moments, and I also have the gift of accessing meetings, of accessing fellows. Two of the people I sponsor, one is local and one I work with virtually. But getting to get together with these two fellows multiple times a week and work the steps is such a gift that these two people trust me to join them along their recovery journey in the way that I trusted my sponsor, somebody who I've never met in person, who lives in a different country, but who was giving me the gift of their time and their experience, strength, and hope. And so to be able to rework the steps through sponsorship has given me a whole new perspective to this program, to recovery, and to all the things that I can be doing. Top lines are a really big piece of my recovery. So ensuring that I am filling that void that created a norm of chaos, dysfunction, that thrived on urgency, fake urgency, but urgency nonetheless, and drama, and all the things that I grew up with and normalized for myself, and instead filling that with other things, filling that with, you know, doing some coloring when I'm having a tough day. I got this little dollar pack of little square things that you etch in, and it gives you different colors when you do that at Target the other day. And I love it. My inner child is very happy etching out unicorns on this colorful piece of paper. Engaging in authentic conversations with folks, you know, not being stuck in trying to be predictive about how they're going to react or what they're going to say, or all those things that stop me from being an active listener and an active participant in my own life and in other people's lives. And just trusting that things will work out, engaging in or creating new boundaries. Boundaries have always been scary for me because I'm so conflict averse oftentimes, and I'm such a good people pleaser, and I'm such a good codependent. And so the idea of having to clash with anyone in any way has always been a terrifying thing. So
you have 3 minutes left.
Thank you. To set those boundaries and to reinforce those boundaries has been a really important part of my recovery. To understand that boundaries do not necessarily mean conflict, and how somebody may respond to my boundary is also good information. Is really good data for me. If I establish a boundary and that is upsetting to someone, that's good information for me about how to engage or not with that person moving forward. And the helpful thing too is understanding that boundaries are about how I'm going to show up, not how you or someone else is going to show up. So not telling somebody, you know, don't do this thing or that thing. But instead, really being clear, if you do this thing, this is how I will be responding. You know, this is how my time with you will change. Because I don't have control over that. I don't have control over a lot of things. And that is hard to still admit, to say that I don't have control over a lot of things, because I want to. I want to be able to control things. I wanted to be able to control my marriage. I wanted to be able to control this relationship with my qualifier. I wanted to be able to control all the little things that happened at any given point in my day. And really just allowing that space, like I said, really allowing for what's going to happen. And sometimes things work out, sometimes things don't work out. And I have these rooms to come back to on both of those days, in both of those moments. I have plenty of people available that I can outreach to at any given moment. So a toolkit, you know, really having a toolkit at my disposal so that in moments where acting out or acting in are tempting, I can instead engage in some type of counteraction. I can, you know, put the pen down, pick up the feather, right? I can walk away from situations. I can take care of my inner child. I can find a way to commune with my higher power through meditation, which is something that I really, really enjoy and value. I was never a meditation person. And now I typically do a nightly meditation, and that thing puts me to sleep. It calms me so quickly. And that's a good thing for me. I'm so much more conscious of the way that I live my life. I'm so much more conscious of the way that I move around the world and around other people. And I'll wrap up. I also just pause to take in what's around me and appreciate what's around me. So thank you all for letting me share. I hope you all got something out of this, but if not, you know, there's so many more meetings out there. And I hope that you all are able to find the recovery you're looking for.
Thank you.